Chapter 17. Soar Like the Seagulls. It was a warm June evening as Sandra and Jessica strolled out to the harbour front. The sun was just beginning to set. Soft gilded clouds lined the deep blue sky. There were many people out walking on such a beautiful evening. A flock of noisy seagulls caught Sandra's eye as they swooped down to circle a small red fishing boat that was coming into the harbour. "I used to really struggle with hurts like this," Jessica admitted, looking over at Sandra as they walked along. "There was a time in my life, not so long ago actually, when I thought that if I showed God's love to the world, then all my relationships would be wonderful, and everyone would want to know more about the hope God has offered." Sandra nodded emphatically as she dodged around a group of runners. Such cause and effect sounded entirely plausible. "The trouble was that such idealism didn't work so well in college," Jess said ruefully, shielding her eyes to watch the gulls soar back into the air. "I gave my all to my friends there, bent over backwards to do more than my share of the work, tried to be kind and forgiving and tell them about the coming kingdom of God. And they ditched me, badly." "What did they do?" "Well," Jess began with a sigh, "it all began after I spoke out against practicing homosexuality. We were having an open discussion during a Christian Bible study group session. I assumed that since we were all interested in reading the Bible together, we would all equally respect the message. However, it didn't quite work out that way. Everyone in the group turned against me and thought that I was a bigot, even though I assured them that I believed God can save the sinner, just as he can save all of us from any sin that we confess and forsake. A month later, my closest friends took me out to celebrate the completion of our final project, or so I thought, and then slipped some sort of drug into my drink. I was throwing up and hallucinating, and not one of them cared. I was left to find my own way home across the city." "How terrible!" Sandra exclaimed. "It was devastating to me," Jess admitted, "and I took a long, long time to sort it all out in my mind. I thought that God's love would change the world for good. I thought that if I did my part faithfully, everyone would be won over to his cause. But now I've come to realize that Jesus warned us it wouldn't be that way at all." "Seriously?" Sandra asked. This seemed disconcerting. "Jesus was the perfect manifestation of God's love," Jess said, as they approached the end of the boardwalk. A spent geranium flower protruded from the last of the 20 wooden barrels that they had planted in the spring. Jess reached over and plucked it off absent-mindedly. "Jesus healed the sick," she said. "He raised people from the dead, spoke words of life and truth. He was always providing for others and forgiving sins. And how did the world react to him?" They crucified him," Sandra said thoughtfully. She had never considered the immense betrayal involved in the crucifixion. "Yes, and he was personally betrayed by one of his closest friends," Jess added, "through a kiss." Having reached the end of the wooden walkway, the girls automatically turned around to head back the same way they had come. Jessica looked over at Sandra. "And while Jesus was being mocked, tortured, and put to death on that stake, what was he providing for the world?" Sandra shook her head uncertainly. "Forgiveness," Jess answered, walking closer to Sandra to avoid a nasty-looking dog straining against his muzzle. "Don't worry, he can't bite," the owner assured her. "Thanks," Jess smiled uncertainly, stopping for a moment to let the dog and his master pass by. "The Bible says that Jesus died for us," she continued as they started walking again, "while we were yet sinners, for the ungodly and for his enemies. And Jesus says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." "How does this help?" Sandra asked anxiously, looking over at the gulls. A few of them had eaten their fill of fish and were gliding in towards shore. "It sounds very depressing." "It helps in this way," Jessica explained confidently. "If you make the effort in your life to show love to others, expecting to receive the same back, you will eventually be devastated when others fail to respond, or even worse, respond with scorn or hostility. But if you change your expectations and determine to be a loving person because Jesus was, and because you want to be his friend, regardless of the reactions of others, then you can soar like those seagulls," Jess said, pointing in their direction. "You can soar above every hurt and misunderstanding, over all the lack of care and concern. You can trust that Jesus empathizes completely, and one day he will recognize you as an overcomer, just as he himself overcame. It was a whole new way of thinking, and Sandra couldn't comprehend it all at once. They walked in silence for a while, as she tried to apply it to her own situation. "I'm not sure if it fits," she thought. "Laurie's lack of concern for me has nothing to do with religion or anything good I've done for him. How can I overcome the hurt that I feel?" Finally, she decided to pour out her problem to Jess. "What you're saying makes a lot of sense," Sandra began. "I asked you how you overcome such hurt because there's a lot of hurt in my life. I'm just not sure it's quite the same situation." Jessica looked over kindly. She broke off another brown withered geranium flower as they continued past the barrels. "What hurts you, Sandra?" she asked gently. "It's my brother," Sandra explained. "He left home when I was 10 and he was 16. I haven't seen him since. All these years, he's never made any effort to get in touch with me, not even for our mother's funeral. Sure, he sent an enormous bouquet of flowers and paid for all the expense, but he didn't come. He had to be in China for some business transaction, something more important. I've always been the one tracking him down, sending emails, making phone calls, and only rarely hearing back. I came out here, hoping that we'd finally meet up, but so far, every date we've set up, he's cancelled. He just doesn't care, I guess, although I keep hoping he will. But he's all the family I have now," she said, brushing away the tears that were welling up in her eyes. "So I keep trying." "Then you're doing the right thing," Jessica assured her. "Keep trying. Be the one who cares, and don't expect anything in return." "Really? Don't expect anything back? But that's so hard to do. It's especially hard because I need his help." Sandra stopped herself. She didn't want to let Jessica know how tough things were. Jess looked over inquisitively. "It is hard at first," she agreed, "but it gets easier. Just do whatever you do because it's the right thing to do and you want to please God." Putting her arm around Sandra's shoulders, Jessica spoke earnestly. "Remember this. God is the only one who will never let you down. He never breaks his promises, and he can help in far greater ways than any human being ever can. God knows what's good for us, and he's working for our eternal salvation." Sandra mulled things over quietly as they made their way to the other end of the boardwalk. The gulls continued their noisy show, skimming across the water, fighting over a little fish that one of them had managed to scoop up, and then soaring back into the sky to fly high over all the fishing boats that bobbed up and down on the water. "What a beautiful world," Sandra thought quietly, looking out over the harbour. The colours of the sunset were deepening in intensity, and a lovely cool breeze was drifting off the ocean. "I'm so happy to live here. I'm so happy I've met Jess." "I understand what you're saying," Sandra said at last. "I see how you can handle the bad things that happen to you and not become bitter. It's like you found a way to look past everything, to a wonderful vision in which none of these hurts and injustices matter. You've been set free." They had returned to the manor entrance, and it was time for Jess to go. She held out her arms to Sandra, and they embraced. "Be strong," Jess said, patting Sandra's back. "Our trials today are all part of God's plan to develop our faith and his characteristics in us. So forgive and forget, and follow the example that Jesus gave to us."